Well, hey there, Driven Woman Entrepreneur. Thank you for joining me today. And I have something very special for you. You see, many of the conversations that I've been leaning into are revealing that many female entrepreneurs are feeling a bit lonely, disconnected, isolated, and just sort of out on their own. So I wanted to bring a guest who knows more about intentionally cultivating belonging while maintaining a sense of integrity, authenticity, and vulnerability. So today's guest is Sacred Walker. Now, she came to this country as an immigrant and really struggled to feel like she genuinely belonged, learning early on that code switching would allow her to blend in, but not actually belong. Later, as an adult, she has developed an entire business dedicated to creating spaces for others and teaching them how to actually belong. From classrooms to boardrooms, she has defied boundaries and showed up with courage, navigating a world that puts up all kinds of barriers for any of us who are different. Now, if you have come to believe that it's really hard to be vulnerable, it's really hard to make friends as an adult, and it's almost impossible or just too time-consuming, maybe even dangerous, to make genuine, authentic connections now that you're a fully developed human woman business owner, I invite you to lean in to this conversation and be willing to dispel some of those beliefs. The truth that Sacred Walker is here to share comes to very different conclusions. This conversation is about the power of self-acceptance, inclusion, and culture, what she calls the dance of belonging, and the genuine power of being yourself. I'm really looking forward to sharing this very intimate conversation with Sacred Walker with you. Lean in and enjoy. So I am joined today by my friend and colleague, Sacred Walker, and we are here to have a conversation about some of the most important things that I talk about on a regular basis and that are probably on your mind as well. We are here to talk about belonging, connection, and understanding the balance as an adult connecting with other adults between being our authentic, genuine, vulnerable selves and appreciating that we might not be in a place where we can do that and truly belong. So welcome, Sacred. I cannot wait for this conversation to begin.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be here today. And I'm so glad for us to be diving in. You're someone that I really care for and respect. And so even as we build our sense of belonging, you all get to join in. And thank you all for tuning in. I'm so glad to be here.
One of the things that I want to start with as a reference point is a few years ago when I started following the work of Brené Brown, when she made the distinction between fitting in and belonging. And I don't think it was until I started really contemplating that difference that I realized I had spent far too much of my life shaving off parts of me, stuffing other parts of me into some preordained box in order to fit in. And yet no true, genuine belonging or connection ever came as a result.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well said. And, you know, really leaning into how she spoke into creating brave spaces is so important and foundational to the conversation we're going to have today. And so that for me is so important. Like, what does it look like when we are struggling with some of those triggers that make it hard for us to feel like we can be brave and find those spaces where we may be the one of something at the table sometimes in our workplaces, in our fields, in our expertise? And how do we feel like not only we belong on the outside, but how do we feel like we belong on the inside? How do we know that we can trust ourselves after we've had either heartbreak or we have gone through something that has been challenging? And so I'm really excited to dive into the conversation today. I have a little chunky monkey fur mama who is 7 months old, a little kitty cat who you might see feed on by, who wants to belong into this conversation too. Mm. If you hear or see anything, just know all is well. We have a little fur baby in the midst.
That's the best. Well, I want to ask you a specific question about this, because I often hear people say that it's really hard to make new friends as an adult. And I have mixed feelings about that. You know that my husband and I have done two long distance relocations in the last 3 years and moved in both cases to places where we didn't know a soul and literally had to make entirely new networks from scratch. So probably I lean towards the, well, I think it can be hard or it can be not so hard. It all depends. I'd love to hear your thoughts on whether it seems actually harder to make new, not just friendships, new connections of all kinds as an adult. And if not, why not?
So I want to start with maybe 2 points, right? Around, I want to dive right into thinking of it as sometimes we have to remind ourselves in our mind, one, that I live in a friendly universe, right? Mm. That I live in a friendly universe, which is, you know, sometimes challenging based on our circumstances, our histories. And two, honestly, that if you are feeling like you don't belong, that you're not alone, right? Mm. And so how do we create actions that promote loneliness or promote connection, right? Mm. So like, I live in a friendly universe and it's safe to connect, right? So I wanted to start with that. So I know for me, as someone who's relocated to India, who's relocated to Oakland, who's relocated back to Brooklyn, as I enter into my 40s, I look back on my childhood. I know mm-hmm. when I was young and I first immigrated here from Kingston, Jamaica to Brooklyn, New York, I knew no one. It was my mom and I in a one-bedroom apartment, and we had to keep everything nice and clammed and safe. And we couldn't talk about what was happening at home. Like, that was not okay, right? What happened in the home stayed in the home. And so when I would go to school, I learned to blend. I learned to code switch, which today comes in handy, right? Mm-hmm. It comes in handy where I can show up and be bold and be powerful and put on a smile and make it work and move forward. But the catch 22 is I didn't know how to be vulnerable in friendships. Because if you can't talk about what's happening at home, you certainly are not going to be able to talk about things like, well, how come you have to rush home? Or how come you look a little skittish today? Or why is it that you feel so chattery? Is, you know, kids don't know about anxiety or things like that, right? And so I was constantly getting in trouble. I was constantly being put in the corner for talking too much. And that outward expression of just wanting to connect, I felt like I was closer to the teachers than I was my classmates, right? So fast forward, as an adult, as I come to accept myself, I find that one of my missions in life is to create spaces where people can feel like they belong. Because it's a real thing if you grew up in any kind of household where you felt like, ooh, what's happening here? We can't really talk about because people don't get it. I never thought as a kid that there would be other quirky, brilliant, bright, right, fairy-like little beings who also had hard lives. I swore to it that I must be the only one going through so much challenges. And so for me today, I feel like if I'm in spaces where I feel genuinely like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one who gets it, it can be hard because you're not in a classroom. It's not like you're on the basketball court or in the schoolyard. So you kind of have to find intentional spaces to feel like you belong. And so that's why that's so important to me, is to create them, right? But I have to remember, I'm in a friendly universe, right? People actually want to get to know me. If I in my mind tell myself otherwise, then my inner child is like, oh, no one's going to get me, right? And two, I want to lean into how do I connect versus remind myself, you know what? It's better. No one talk to me. It's fine, right? To remind myself to connect and lean in because I'm likable and I'm in a friendly universe. So sometimes those inner child stuff kicks up. And I don't know if anyone tuning in can relate to this, but I know for me, knowing that I'm not alone in being my unique, quirky, brilliant self can be really relieving.
I love this so much, Sacred. And you know, you're reminding me, you know, going back in my own childhood, and I was flat out told that nobody was going to be able to come to our house. Like, my parents actually acknowledged that what was going on in our house was not normal. They didn't say it in so many words, but I was not allowed to bring friends over. Nobody ever came to our house. So I didn't know why that was the case, but I knew that I was desperate to make friends. Like you, I was desperate to connect with the teachers. I was a very bright, very curious, very eager to learn little kid. And there wasn't any sense of nurturing going on at home. So I really depended on my relationship, especially with the teachers, as alternative, healthy adult attachment figures. But you go to school, you make friends, they can't come to your house. So are you ever really going to be their friend? I mean, you can only go to another kid's house so many times, and then they want to come to your house, or their mother insists on it because they've had enough of you being at their house too often. And then you just had to drop the friend and you could never express or explain why. So I think, you know, you're reminding me that taking back the power of accepting ourselves and approving of ourselves and believing for ourselves that the universe is a friendly place, even if you have considerable evidence to the contrary, it can help you sort of be open to the possibilities of what's available to you as an adult. I see far too many people, and I know you do as well, who are still living in their life as though they were in an unsafe, unpredictable, unwelcoming, unfriendly, potentially traumatizing environment, when none of that is in their current reality, but they are holding on to that in their mind, I guess a way to maintain safety when it no longer serves them to do so.
Well, here's the catch me too, because I both agree with that and I want to build on that.
I knew you would.
Right. Because I think that there's some power in being able to say, and one of the things that we do in our mastermind, our Limitless Mastermind, is we talk about how on the well-being pathway to carve out space in our home to create sacred space, right? Mm. So we have to first feel like there's, even if it's a desk, a room, a corner, even Maya Angelou, who was a writer, as I say in the well-being pathway, created sacred space in our home. Even Oprah yes. recently did something where she and Gail went off and they were able to go off together and create sacred space and belonging in their connection. So, you know, we want to look at that, right? That we can move in the world as if I'm likable, right? Researchers say, if I feel like I'm likable and I approach you as if I'm likable, then when you reject me, it has nothing to do with me. It's about your ability to take vulnerable people or not.
Yes.
Nothing to do with my, like, should I be vulnerable? Well, are you able to handle vulnerability? But that has nothing to do with my willingness to be brave enough to be vulnerable. Now, the catch 22 is, and I think you will be on the same page with this with me, is that when we put in culture into it, right? And we speak about this in our centering practices, in our meditations that look at inclusion and culture. Mm-hmm. That's the catch 22. Because we live in a world, if you're historically excluded as an executive, where you might feel unsafe, right? Yes. That's a real thing. That you might want to approach someone with that bubbly, vibrant inner child energy. And I know for me, I've had to protect that over time because I might show up and someone might say, you fit a description. Or someone might say, were you a diversity hire? Or someone might say to you, right. Or someone might say to you, like, oh, wait a minute, how did you get this job, right? How did you work your way up the ladder? And so I think that that's the dance, right? Is that, yes, I live in a friendly universe up here in my mind. I'm pointing to my temples for those who can't see me. But at the same time, we also live in a world that views us in our bodies, right? And this is why in the mastermind, we talk about healing what's projected onto our body so we can feel centered, clear, and confident. Because if I don't acknowledge that stuff is thrown at my body, it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm not a pork eater usually, right? But let's say like pepperoni. Think of it as like, if you threw pepperoni at someone, right? It's warm pepperoni, it's stuck, right? And it's stuck onto their body and it really stands out. And that person is walking around not conscious of the fact that they have pepperoni all over them. But they feel so heavy. They're like, what is this? I smell salty, right? Because I actually like pepperoni. I smell salty. I smell something's chewy on me. And everyone around them is telling them, what are you talking about? I don't see pepperoni. But they can feel the stuck pepperoni. And one day, as they become confident and clear, they start peeling off the pepperoni. And they're like, oh, look at my beautiful skin. I can be friends with my beautiful skin now. When I interact with you, I'm not saying I'm weighed down by the pepperoni put on me for years. I'm seeing my skin, but when you throw pepperoni at me, I can go, excuse me, you're going to take back this pepperoni because that's not mine, right? So I think part of belonging is remembering I've got to see the pepperoni from my skin.
Yes.
But I'm walking around with this weight that makes it hard to feel like I belong in my own skin, right? And that's the power of connecting. I got to peel the pepperoni off before I can hug you. You see what I'm saying? And then Yes. You've got to see the pepperoni on you. That's the dance. And I think we talk about that a lot in our mastermind. Like, what does it look like to feel safe even in your own skin so you can reach out to love someone else?
I think that has to be. And that's probably the most creative, whimsical, and amusing, because you know me, I love me some analogies and metaphors. That one is like top drawer. What I'm thinking is it really, and I like that you're calling it a dance, Sacred, because it truly is a dance between not violating your belonging to and with yourself in service of belonging with others. And it's an organic dynamic thing. It's not a one and done. It's constantly being experimented with and tested. I'm just thinking of all of the women in the workplace, whether it's the color of their skin, maybe they wear a hijab, maybe they just their differentness and all the projections and beliefs and biases that other people have about them that come to them automatically because of those differences. And even if it's nothing to do with appearance or race or culture, it could be because you're in a wheelchair or you're younger than everyone else at the table or older than everyone else at the table. Some of the most fascinating conversations I'm currently having with people about connection and belonging have to do with being in a different generation than the person I'm talking to. I just had a conversation with a young gentleman in Australia last night. So we had different gender, different country, different accents, you know, different age group. And we had a really interesting conversation about how do we really both connect and have a sense of belonging in the workplace with the fact that we've got 5 different generations now working together and at least trying to have some semblance of functional normalcy. I would love to hear your approach when you walk into a room, whether it's a physical conference room or a boardroom or a Zoom room with multiple participants, and you immediately recognize I'm one of, for whatever the reason. Mm-hmm. How do you center and ground yourself? Because I know you've got to practice. I know you do. I'd love to hear it.
I do. And I have to admit that I incorporate this into our mastermind when we talk about like sacred walking. So every day I do what I call my 3 M's, if you will, right? So I do my meditation for maybe about 15 minutes or so, take time to center myself. I take some time to do some mindful walking. I'm taking some time to do walking, and I kind of teach more about intentional walking there. Mm-hmm. And then I take some time to do a moment of reflection. So whether it's a moment of reflection over my vision board or I do some journal writing. So I take some time to do my 3 M's. And so I find that if I do not do that, the anxious, ambitious woman in me, the driven and woman in me will write a checklist that goes from A to Z of all the million things that would make me successful that I need to do before I can actually achieve my goals. Like if I don't get clear on boom, and then out of those 3, I come to one, what will make today successful? Whether I'm speaking to one person in my coaching or whether I'm speaking to a team of 200 in the, you know, governor's office of New York State, wherever that is, how am I going to make one thing successful? Even if it's that I'm going to, at the end of the day, this day is successful because I feel clear and confident on the inside. Mm-hmm. Or this day is successful because I gave myself a hug at the end of the day. Or I reached out and I put that submission in for the first chapter of my book on the other side of the training, right? Whatever it is, I choose one thing after my 3 M's. So to answer your question, walking into a room, right? This is about what I call a centering practice. Like, how am I feeling centered on the inside when I begin? And for me, even though I am in my mid-40s and I am moving in that interesting chapter of crossroads, I will say that my inner child, even though I'm very outgoing, my inner child is introverted. And so I've had to learn an introverted approach. And because my inner child feels most comfortable connecting with one at a time, mm-hmm. because that was what was safe, I had to kind of know filtering in, right? My adult self, the tool that I use, and for anyone who can relate to this, this overwhelming, like, all eyes on me, am mm-hmm. I going to get it wrong or right? But on the other side, because I have a commitment, I said, okay, no matter what, I want to make sure that everyone, one person or many, who touches base feels like they're connected to themselves again. They're feeling their authentic self. They're able to transform barriers for their well-being, and they're leading their lives feeling alive with their potential. Like, I'm clear about that. So no mm-hmm. matter what, my fear comes up, I have to be brave. I move forward and I choose one person. Mm-hmm. And I go around the room if it's a small, intimate space, Zoom or otherwise, and I welcome every single person at a time. And I find that if I do that and focus on one person the entire time, team of one or team of many, one person, and then I focus on the next person, I don't get caught up in the fact that I'm speaking to a room of 1,000.
That's so good.
I don't get caught up in that, because when we have our masterminds and we meet in person or we meet in groups, it's so essential for me to feel like I belong in that space. And so I would highly recommend that. Taking time for your 3 M's, your mindful mm-hmm. moment, your meditation, and your mindful walk, right? Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. will, or your moment of reflection, if you mm-hmm. will, for your writing, etc. Taking time to land into one person, if it helps you to say, okay, I'm going to focus on one person, that no matter what, I can connect soul to soul to that person and I can feel grounded on the other side. Hey, how did you feel about this talk today? How did it resonate for you? Right? And number 3, making sure that no matter what, I'm clear about my mission, right? Because mm-hmm. that for me is key. The L in love for the way that we lead our love medicine method is living our principles so I can launch my vision. So if I'm not clear about my mission, why am I showing up today? I'm not doing it because I'm billable hours. I'm doing it because I have a mission of how I want to touch people's lives. And so when I get clear on my mission, I immediately am like, yeah, I belong here. I'm fulfilling my mission.
Hey there, it's Diane, and I want to thank you for being a listener to the Driven Woman Entrepreneur podcast. But you do know that you can only learn so much and change so much in your business and life as a result of consuming content, which is why I'm really excited to announce that my signature framework, the Boss Up System, is now available as a one-on-one coaching experience. I will be relaunching the small group experience of the Boss Up Breakthrough in just a few months, but so many women I've been talking to had a very disappointing year for 2022, and they just don't want to wait, which is why I've decided to open up just a few spots to work with people through the Boss Up framework one-on-one. How to know if this is right for you and if this is the right time? Ask yourself this. If you started your business to create a profitable, right-sized offer that is rewarding and allows you to stand out and be sought after, but what actually has happened is that you are over-delivering and undercharging and just not reaching your ideal clients with the perfect offer you have for them, this may be exactly what you need. There are 9 stages in the framework that we work through together, which include an audit of your business to determine what is and isn't working. We set appropriate goals, identify the obstacles that have been holding you back, determine the difference in your business between value and worth, craft your unique offer, and address price, fears, and boundary issues that have prevented you from having the business you want, need, and deserve. So if that sounds right for you and you don't want to wait for the group, click on the link in the show notes to schedule your free consultation. Hey, you already know you like what I have to say and how I think. What if this is the year that you have my eyes and ears on your business and really help you move the needle? Click on the show notes and see if this isn't the right time for you. I'd love to see your name on my calendar. Now back to the show.
I'm fulfilling my mission. I take the pepperonis off, right? And I'm fulfilling my mission. And I think it changes the way that I show up, even when it's scary, right? And so that's something that is super important. This is one of the things that I love about you, is because you defy boundaries, right? You can say, I'm, as a driven woman, people can project things onto you as someone who has blonde hair or me who has locks. And at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, we're driven. Say something about it. That part.
Have you been, I'm curious about this, Sacred. Did people tell you you were intimidating starting in your teens?
You know what? To be honest, my first year of high school, I blended in like a fly on a spiral of fly paper with other flies. Obviously, I grew up very poor. And that was my reference point. But I really blended in. And I didn't think that anyone liked me, truthfully. I truthfully had people telling me, what are you talking about? I thought you were amazing. I had pimples all on my forehead. Mm. I would always wear my bangs to cover them. And I just wanted to merge. And then one day, I literally drank too much. I was drinking when I was in high school. Completely 70 Adventist, breaking the rules, snuck a drink in of my mom's alcohol, completely had the worst experience. I felt so alone. And I said to myself, literally, oh my gosh, if this is rock bottom for me as a kid, I literally thought this way, and no one is here for me, I might as well be myself anyway. Like, I thought to myself, literally, I could have not been here tomorrow. I got so sick that I literally said, I'm spending so much time trying to blend in and no one knows who I truly am. And literally God spoke into my spirit and was like, what a loss that would have been that you would have not been here and no one would have gotten to know the real you. And so I said to myself, if nothing else, at least I belong to me. And the next day, I kid you not, I went to the neighborhood thrift store. I bought a ruffled shirt, these funky stitch pants, my bell bottoms and my platform shoes. And I went into school with my fake fur and I said, you know what? I'm me. And literally overnight I became popular and I never understood it. And to this day, as an adult, now I get it. What I got was I finally showed up as me, and in me being afraid of showing up as me, it actually was, that was a thing that was going to draw me to my people. Right. And so I'm not saying you have to grab a fur coat, or I'm saying it's not even about the clothes. It was about what I changed on the inside that showed up on the outside, right? And then from there on, I started hearing I'm intimidating, but not intimidating because I was outshining. I was still taking time to try to understand how you feel like you don't belong, because that part of me that was wounded never left
me.
Yes,
yes.
So I think it's the balance of showing up in confidence, but never losing touch with that sensitive little girl who knew what it felt like to feel like no one got her, but now bringing that into the platform rocking young lady.
This is such an exquisite story. And I hope that people listening can really, really, really take it to heart, because I know that wherever you are, wherever you're listening, wherever you live, whatever your background, whatever your circumstances, whatever color, shade your skin is, you have been taught, if you are a female identifying person, you have been taught that you're not enough. And for those of us like Sacred Walker and I, who are outspoken, can be noisy and quirky and eccentric and silly and goofy and talk about pepperoni when we're making really important points, we also get told that we're too much. And it is the too muchness that causes us to dim and shrink and fade. And you will blend when you do that. You will be as bland and boring and unnoticeable as you could possibly be, but you will never, ever, ever really feel that you are connected and that you have a sense of belonging and that you're being accepted, not only with others, but not with yourself. So you're so right. It's such a good example of, well, nobody likes me anyway, and I'm miserable trying to blend in. So what if I just take off the brakes and allow myself to be who I actually am? At least I'll be enjoying myself, even if everyone else rejects me. And that was the turning point. And I love the sticker on your wall, because this is a audio and video podcast. She remembered who she was, and the game changed. And how wonderful that this happened when you were still in your early developmental years. Because so many people we meet they do this very hard work of excavating their authentic self from under the rubble of judgment and fear and rejection many years down the line. It's probably one of the reasons why you shine so brightly and are such a leader now. And to that point, you've mentioned several times about the mastermind. So I want to give you a couple of minutes to share for all the people listening who are like, I got to have some more sacred walker in my life. Tell me how.
Absolutely. So, you know, I appreciate the invitation. And, you know, there's more that's going to be dived into when we have our upcoming event. So definitely reach out. You know, you can reach out in the show notes at the link, or you can reach out and ask Sacred on Facebook and Instagram and Sacred Walker on LinkedIn. But, you know, something that I really loved that you just spoke into was belonging. And so that's the focus of our mastermind. You know, in short, you know, when we fry fish, we go into the kitchen. I know I grew up with fried fish.
You must be hungry right now, girl. You're talking about pepperoni and fish. Bring it.
You're going in and you fry fish. You might fry fish in your own unique way, right? And sometimes in frying fish, the oil jumps out on you if you're not careful, unless you have an air fryer that we have now or something with a lid. But it might jump on you and it burns you, right? And so now all of a sudden you connect fried fish with the burn. And sometimes triggers can be like that. And so it's one of the things that we're going to be doing in our mastermind is looking at how do we celebrate your unique way that you cook and fry that fish and love on that and the unique sauces and scents that you put on it, whether you're putting on it things connected to your Middle Eastern background, your Italian background, or mine, your Caribbean background. But also, how do we center ourselves so that when we can bring some anointment to one another so that we can feel like we can continue to shine in the world and not blame ourselves for the oil that jumped on us, right? Because life happens. And whether you are 20, 40, 60, or 80, you might be reinventing yourself. And so in this mastermind experience, you'll be getting support around how to feel like you belong in a clear and confident way. And we're going to have a big retreat together, which is going to be really delicious and beautiful. And so we're really supporting empathic visionary leaders to come together and to shine. And so do reach out, do connect. We'll have some opportunities to learn more over time, but I'm super excited to make sure to remind you to never blame yourself for the burn impact of you reinventing yourself and cooking something new in a different way, right? We just want to help. And then on the other side of that, we have the meal of the vision that is your unique calling, that you become the answer to your ancestors' prayers. And so I'm so glad to be a guest on your show today. And please do reach out so that we can be in the Belonging Mastermind together.
I am so glad that you woke yourself up to the truth that you are here to lead and shine and help others grow at an early age. And I'm just so here for it. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It's been an honor.
That's a wrap, folks.